It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to the Adventures in Business podcast. This is Amy Zander with CD Media, your host, and I'm here with Lisa Fisher with Lisa Fisher Associates. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing great, Amy. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm ready to get artsy today with our guest. So excited. I met this person, I don't know, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I commissioned her to do some pet portraits for a friend of mine who had lost her dog. And so she did a great job. And since then, her business has pretty much exploded. And you can see her art all over Lansing and all other places. But that's all I'm going to say about it. We're going to let her tell you about her and her artistic endeavors and her business. So tell us who we have, Lisa.
Hey, we have Adrian, and I wished you all, this is one of those times where I really wish we had the video going, which we've talked about. There's a beautiful mural that she's painted as her background, and she's got this amazing bird on her shoulder, this real bird that's just like hanging out with us today. So Adrian, welcome to our show. Tell everybody who you are.
Hi, thank you for having me. So my name is Adrian Gilardi, and I own the business Art of Adrian, which I don't even know why I specify. It's just me. It's not like a huge business. But I paint murals mostly around the Lansing area, but I've been to like Ohio and I've been to all bunch of different places in Michigan. So a lot of times I paint people's like front doors with like a lot of designs on them. That's what I'm known for, is garage doors and front doors. But this year I've been lucky and I've been doing more like business murals, which means they're like bigger and they're sometimes they're more creative or different stuff than I usually do. So that's been really fun this year.
So you've had the opportunity to start painting some business murals and move into that aspect of work. What has been one of your favorite murals to do?
One of my favorite murals was at Wired's Orchard in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Basically, this is like, I grew up near there and that was my favorite childhood orchard. And like every fall I would go there and do like the U-pick and get pumpkins and apples. So they actually they found me online, I guess, just because I'm posting all over in local Michigan groups. And they had me commission me for the first mural, which was actually it's about 40 feet long and it goes like along the top of their country store. So that one was really cool. I actually pieced it together in my basement and then they liked it so much. They had me come back and do a garage door that they had right next to their llamas and goats and stuff. And so I got to paint all the llamas and goats like wearing like silly Halloween costumes because they're only open around Halloween. That was the other thing that was so great about it. They're only open around Halloween. So I got to paint a Halloween mural, which I never get to do. And like Halloween's, you know, the funnest holiday. So I was very excited about that.
So where do you get your inspiration? They reached out to you. They asked you to do a mural. Where are you getting your inspiration to paint them what they're desiring?
Well, a lot of times people have already seen work that I've done, which is heavily nature inspired. I mean, it's a lot of flowers and pretty things and colorful things and animals. And usually people come to me wanting something similar to what I've already done. So that's usually simple. A lot of times people will want something a little bit different, but they won't know exactly what they want. And I feel like it's kind of up to me to sense what they want. And it sounds crazy, but I feel like I've gotten a lot better at that. And now when people are like, sometimes people will be like, I don't really want a lot of color. I don't like color, but then they'll pick a design that has tons of color in it. And I'm like, I don't think you want that. So I'll just like make a sketch of something what I think they actually want. And surprisingly enough to me, usually that works if I do something different than what they say, but I get an impression that they want something different. It's really odd. I never would have guessed that or had the courage to do that when I was younger, but now I'm just like, that's not what you want. I'm going to do what you want.
Yeah, we do learn those things along the way as business owners, don't we? Absolutely. Yes. So walk us through a little bit about just how you've grown your business. Because I've watched you on social media. You're great at posting stuff. I love watching your time-lapse videos of the paintings and things that you do. It's so fun. But yeah, just tell us kind of, you know, for our listeners and other people who might be wanting to make a career out of being an artist, which is not an easy thing to do all the time. So just tell us a little bit about how you've been doing that, your journey.
I mean, I just did it all myself. I really had no idea what to do, but I knew I was really fed up with my toxic work environment at the corporate job I was at. So, I mean, I knew it was going to be hard. I knew I was going to do my taxes 5 times a year, which is like a total nightmare. But I was determined. And honestly, it is just repetition and determination. And I've spent barely any money on advertising. I try not to spam people on Facebook, but I post in all the local groups. And if I want to go do a mural in another city, I'll post in the local groups in that city. And honestly, like, Facebook is where I get almost all of my business. Like, now I've finally been able to direct people to my website and people can kind of find me in other areas, but mostly it's Facebook, which is so weird. Like, I never could have made a career like this, you know, like years ago when all this social networking didn't exist. It's like, it's made a way for people to like advertise when they don't have money. Normally just a regular Joe Schmo couldn't start a business without tons of money for advertising. And it's a lot of work to do it this way, but if you don't have money, then that's how you're going to do it. So that's really just been my strategy, is social media marketing, I guess.
Yeah. And at this point, word of mouth too. I mean, lots of people talk about town about being a local artist.
When you're starting though.
Sure. Really, sure. Yeah, but absolutely. Yeah,
now, absolutely. Now, yes, I definitely have word of mouth now.
Right. Yeah.
When did you know you wanted to be a painter?
Well, I always knew I wanted to be an artist, and I actually went to college for traditional animation, and I was always really inspired by cartoons, and I really liked Disney, and I wanted to do traditional animation, which isn't really a thing anymore, so that probably wasn't a good choice, and I'm still paying off that student loan, but it definitely helped me become a better artist, but I don't know that it was worth the money. I think I could have probably figured it out on my own, but maybe everyone can't do that. So I always knew I wanted to be an artist. That's specifically as a painter, when I was at my last corporate job, that was a toxic work environment. I actually did have a lot of great friends, and someone let me borrow some watercolors from them. And I never liked watercolors because they always, to me, seemed like dull. But the ones he had were called Dr. P.H. Martins, and they come in these little glass bottles with like a little ink dropper, and they're just neon. They're like really, really overpoweringly bright. So I loved them and I was really inspired by them. And I never really painted that much, actually. I was always an illustrator or drawer. So I just started painting a lot and I loved it. And then I started doing the pet portraits. And that was like the easiest way into the art market because everyone has pets and they want a painting of them. So I did that. And then I started kind of getting into, I think my boyfriend at the time painted a mural at Cedar Street Art Collective. And I was like, oh, I could do that. So then I actually was able to get a job in Grand Rapids doing a mural. This was, I took a break from my corporate job. Like, I took all my vacation time and I went to Grand Rapids and painted these two big murals. I was really lucky that someone trusted me to do that without ever having painted a mural. But I mean, they looked great. And that was my segue into painting murals. So I was long and drawn out, but that was how it happened. And then the front doors was another story. That was just me painting my own house. And then I painted my front door this like ugly shade of yellow, which at Home Depot, it looked like chartreuse in their lighting. And then I got it put on my door and it looked like school bus yellow. And I was like, not happy about it, but I didn't want to admit that I made a mistake. So I decided to jazz it up with some flowers, and I did like white line designs of flowers instead of like full color flowers because I thought it would look kind of like more modern, designy. And people loved it. So then I really got into doing doors. So I don't know. It took a few years, but now I'm here.
Do you still do illustration or really the murals and the paint, the doors? those things.
I still do take some like smaller paintings and illustration orders. That's usually in the winter when I can't be painting outside. But right now I really like focusing on the murals. So that's like most of the jobs I take. And I'm lucky that I can take the jobs that I want. That's another thing about working for yourself that's great, is if someone wants me to paint something that I don't feel like I would do a good job, or it just stresses me out thinking about it, then I won't do it.
It's nice to get to that point in your business where you feel like you can be more discerning about the jobs that you take. It takes a while. I know when I first started out, it just felt like I had to take all the work that came my way because I was hungry and I wanted to just build my business. But now it's nice sometimes to and charge what you want too, right? And one reason I'm saying this is also just for our listeners. I'm hoping that, you know, there's people out there that are listening, especially particularly artists that want to make a business out of being an artist, to know that. And this is a particular passion of mine, is to help artists create businesses out of their talent. My kids are artists, and I'm pretty heavily involved in the art community in the Lansing area. And just kind of saying that a little bit for our listeners, like, you really need to listen to what Adrienne's saying, because, you know, it didn't happen overnight for you. You know, like, oh, it took 7 years to be an overnight success or whatever that quote is, but it's doable. Yeah. And can you talk a little bit on those lines about, you know, so you're talented, obviously, you're very artistic, very, very creative, but there's so much more than creating art that goes into running a business for art, right? So talk a little bit about that, you know, your struggles, your successes, you know, how you figured that out.
It was all trial and error, and I never went to business school or took a business class. It was more...
Me neither, just, you know, saying I never went to business school.
Yeah. You don't have to. And honestly, I'm starting to think that the things they're teaching maybe were relevant like 40 years ago. I'm sure the new things are teaching, but like a lot of the people who have given me business advice in the past that are older, I feel like they're giving advice that was not for this time period, especially now after COVID. Like, it's just a crapshoot. But all the business stuff, oh my gosh, like I said, doing your taxes 5 times a year is like, why do we have to do that? This is stupid. Anyways, there's my rant about that. Taxes, advertising on social media, just book taking in orders takes a really long time, giving people quotes. However, I've kind of backed myself into the corner because I'm the only person that knows how I do quotes. So I can't ever really hire someone, or I will be able to eventually hire someone to do that. But right now, I'm the only one that can do it, and I only make enough money for me to do it right now as well. That's definitely a way I need to expand so that I can just be doing art. But it's so time consuming, and I don't feel like a lot of my family members really understand that want a little more of my time, that I'm just working 24/7. Simply making like a Facebook post takes like 5 hours, which I don't think people realize. It's from the editing of the photos, which takes me a long time because cameras don't do a good job of capturing the range of colors in my paintings. So I'm really particular about that. I guess if I was less particular, I could probably get things done faster, but it's definitely time consuming. And like learning about people and customers is probably like the biggest thing. Like, I'm a really big introvert, and I'm not chatty, and like, and people do, like, I understand that people are spending this money on a piece of artwork and they, you know, want to talk about it, but it's like, I have like 100 people I have to talk to. So just figuring out how to like be polite but concise with people, and finding ways to say no in nice ways. I mean, when you have a business online, you know, anyone could leave you a bad review and make you look really bad over nothing. Like, so I don't know. There's a lot. There's so much it takes to run a business by yourself.
Yeah.
Everything takes so much more time, like, than you think, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of psychology that goes into it too.
There is. I have no idea.
Dealing with so many people in different situations, happy people, upset people, like people, confused people.
And that's really hard for me to deal with. When you're dealing with the general population, it's anyone. And I've had some people be really nasty to me, and I could tell they were not mentally sound. So
that's
really hard to deal with, like when you're dealing with everything else.
Yeah. And as we all know, I mean, the internet and social media has allowed people to be sometimes a lot more aggressive than they would be in real life, in person, if you're standing right in front of them. And I've done a lot of work with damage control for businesses for bad reviews, especially restaurants. People tend to leave restaurant reviews more than any other kind of business. And usually people in restaurants only leave a review if they're upset. You know, they're more often. And we've had to, you know, pull businesses out of almost having to close because of reviews. And and you can't get reviews erased. You know, you have to just basically. Yeah, we dealt with a restaurant in Boston that hired a competing restaurant to just trash another restaurant, and they had all their employees and people, and they paid them to trash it online. Yeah, we had to deal with that. Yeah, and it's like, you can't really, there's no like legal recourse. You just have to deal with it. So it's crazy. People are weird. People are weird. So I have a question. I have a lot of clients that are like, you know, service industry, like plumbers and roofers and stuff like that. So do you have like, when you're working at somebody's house and you're like in the zone and painting or whatever, do you have like sometimes people, homeowners that just want to talk to you the whole time you're painting and stuff like that?
You know, I really don't that often.
That's good.
Which is shocking to me, because it's worse if you're like out on the street painting. Some, you know, people want to chit chat. People have been really good. Mostly people are working though. I think when I'm working in their house, they're either working from home or they're not there. I'm not a chit chatter, and it distracts me. Like actually recently, I think I've come to think that I may have had ADHD like my whole life, and the kind of just putting together the pieces. So now when I think about it, when people do talk to me like that, it's like, it's a problem, because if I'm trying to draw the layout and I'm thinking about it, like I can't talk at the same time. I guess sometimes I'm in a mode where I'm just not having to think about the part I'm doing. It's fine to chat then, but I mean, people don't usually know the difference. So
it
is challenging, but yeah, shockingly, everyone's been really good about that and respectful of me. I don't know. Like I might also give off a vibe that I'm not very chatty, or I might come over looking really tired because I have a lot of sleeping problems. So maybe they're like, I'll just let her do her thing. That's right. Okay. That works for me.
Right. Well, you can always play the artist card, a whimsical artist.
I do, honestly, sometimes.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
It gets me out of things. It gets me out of having to dress like in some ridiculous business garb. I don't ever dress. When I go meet customers, I'm like, everything I have has paint on it. There's no way to avoid that.
Absolutely. So
I'm a painter, you expect it.
Right. Yeah.
So there's been a lot of challenges as being a business owner and a solopreneur, doing everything yourself. And, you know, we have, anytime we're in the business with people, that's always very interesting. What are some of the highlights of what you do? What are some of the highlights of the responses you get?
Every time I finish a mural, people are like, whoa, I didn't think it was going to be that good. Which, like, I don't know what that says about, like, me. I don't know why they didn't think it was going to be that good. But a lot of times, actually, like, the pictures I post online are so pretty. But in person, there is so much more color, variation of color, that you just don't ever see unless you see it in person. So that could be part of it. Like, not that they're so shocked that I pulled it together, but like that there's in person, it's like so much prettier. Like I wish I could get a better, like a camera that could capture like subtle variations in color, but I don't have like $10,000 for that.
Or goal, yes. after you hire somebody to help you do the booking and quoting, then you can hire a photographer to hire.
That's true.
Business goals.
See, that's the thing. I'm always just thinking I have to do it myself. I don't even think about hiring. I'm like stuck in that mindset where like, I know I can't afford to pay other people yet. So I'm just like, I got to do it myself. Then I'm not, there's things I don't think of that people probably could help with. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'll tell you. As a business owner, there's nothing better than fractional support. And fractional support is somebody you're not actually hiring them on as an employee. You're hiring them to come in and do your bookkeeping for 5 hours a week. You're hiring them for your specific needs. Mm-hmm. Marketing, there's just all types of fractional mm-hmm. workers out there that add value to your business and frees you up to do what you do best.
Right.
Well, I know. What's your suggestion for someone who's like really particular? Like it's hard to hire someone to do something like that. Like I guess I'm asking for like therapy, but like,
well, yeah,
like,
no,
it's hard like for me, because I also feel like I have to set to give someone these tasks to do. I have to take the time to lay it out in a way that like they're going to be able to do it. And like, to me, that's just the same amount of work sometimes as, I guess it depends how much work I need done, but sometimes I feel like because I'm not good at communicating and stuff that it's more work for me. That's like a mental roadblock, I guess.
I struggle with this too. I for sure do, Adrian. The key word here, and Lisa's going to laugh when I say this, is processes, right? So I actually got a couple of my friends together and paid them some money to help me develop a bunch of processes for my business, because I'm like, look, I can't do this on my own. I don't have time. But if I don't do this, I'm never going to be able to let go of the reins. And I'm never going to free up my time because I can't do all the things in my business anymore. It's too big now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and we did, we had like a few brainstorming sessions. They created a bunch of Google Docs for me and different flow charts for me and set up like a project management app for me and all this stuff. And then when all that was done was when I hired my contractors, and when I brought them online, then all that stuff was set up, and it was amazing, but it took me so long to figure out to do that. Like it, and it was, so I asked some people that I trusted, some of my friends that I could like, you know, be real with, and they helped me. And of course I have an amazing business coach, Lisa Fisher, who also helps me for, you know, and keeps me with accountability and stuff, which helps. But I think it's hard, like as a business owner, it can be really lonely too. And because you can't call in sick. You don't have anyone to ask. My husband's always like, oh, can I help you out? And I'm like, not really. What would I have you do?
No,
you don't know what I do. Right. And also with your type of work and mine as well, I can't speak for Lisa, but we need time to just be able to be creative. Like I have time blocked chunks in my week that are just creative thinking. And I do that because I have to creatively think about how to advertise and market for my clients and my own company. And if I don't take that time and sit and think about it, I just feel like I'm on autopilot, right? Yeah. And I'm not serving them very well. And so it also took me a while to figure out, well, with Lisa's help and the whole time blocking, you know, that process of time blocking. But I think when you're artistic and creative like that, it's not always just about creating art. It's about thinking about it, planning about it, feeling it, you know. And when you run a business, you might have booked a mural, but you're not feeling it that day. Well, it doesn't really matter. You still got to go out and do it because you sold that job, right? And so
the fire,
right? Yeah. So I get it.
I actually struggle with, like, I'm kind of, since COVID, and I'm sure a lot of people have done this, like, I've just been reflecting on, you know, I'm 35, I'm fairly young, but I've been, like, reflecting on my life, and I've never had the mental space to do that. And yes, during COVID, I realized I have to take time to be creative, too. That's one of the things. In, like, creative play, you always do something that ends up inspiring you or helping you with the project later. And I never really realized that. And I just think that's how, you know, we're drawn into like work, 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 and no one considers creativity work because not everyone's creative and they just don't consider it work. And, you know, they're cutting art out of school, all that. And so then we don't realize as artists that it is important to play. You have to, and yes, you have to block that time out, because you are not going to do it if you don't block that time out. So yeah, that's definitely something I've been doing too, and something that I learned. But throughout COVID and like reflecting on my life, I have some medical issues that are like a lot worse the past few years. I have like this really bad fatigue, and I have PMDD, which is pre menstrual dysphoric disorder, which is like your hormones affect every single aspect of your life, from your sleep schedule to your mood to literally everything that you do. Like, yeah, I don't know,
energy level. Everything. Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
if it's messed up, like, I don't ever start a job before like 10:30 or 11 in the morning. Like, I'm never showing up to someone's house at 7 in the morning because I don't know if that day I'm going to be unable to wake up, basically. I really only have like 2 good weeks out of the month. So I am forcing myself to finish things. And I'm always leaving excess time in my schedule for those days that I can't predict. I'm always leaving like weeks open. And also, it's good to do that because sometimes jobs come in that are really cool and I wouldn't be able to fit them in if I didn't just have this random open week. So I'm also trying to schedule for like just not being able to function or feeling overwhelmed and depressed and just, I can't go out. And like, I'm pretty good. Like, I really don't ever, if I ever push a job off, it's because of weather. Like, I will show up and do something if I'm not feeling well, but I might not be there that long. But it's important to just go, you know, get something done, I feel like. Because if I'm always doing things based on my mood, I would like not do anything. I would never leave my bed. So I'm always forcing myself to do it. And like, I know I shouldn't be having issues about going to paint. I mean, if it's a nice house, sometimes I get to go paint in a greenhouse in a beautiful day. And sometimes it's therapy. Honestly, sometimes it's better for me. People don't know that at all. I think people always think I'm like this really bubbly person. And like, when they say that to me, I laugh so hard. I'm like, oh man, you don't see me moping around the house all day.
What is it that you would like to accomplish this year? Looking at all of the way you're setting up your business and, you know, there's things to do, but what do you really want to accomplish this year?
Well, this year I already have something lined up that I need to accomplish. So I have my biggest mural yet. It's 2 stories and maybe, I forgot how long it was, like 50 feet long. It's in Livonia at Alexa Autism Therapy, and they wanted a big mural for their patients and for it to like represent transformation. And I'm really excited. I'm actually meeting with them again. We're going to make some changes to the sketch. So it's going to be the first job that I have to use a lift. So I'm very anxious about that. I'm ready to get that part over with and used to it. But yeah, we'll have to rent a big lift and I will have to work on a large surface, which is a lot harder to like visualize than all the surfaces I've worked on so far. So that's going to be a huge accomplishment. So I am going to be accomplishing that. I don't know if I'm going to have to hire anyone to help me or not. I'm kind of going to see how it goes, but I do have some friends who have worked on larger murals that can help me. So that's going to be a big one.
I mean, how long will something that size, what did you project for time?
I don't know.
Right.
I think I told them it would take about a month, but I'm honestly not sure. I don't think it should take longer than that. And if it looks like it is, I'm going to hire someone to help me finish it faster.
So when you say a month, does that kind of just mean working like Monday through Friday, normal hours?
I do usually work Monday through Friday, normal hours. With this one, I feel like there's so many things up in the air. It might not be as regular. It's far away. So, I mean, it's like an hour.
But you don't want to drive that every day.
I don't want to drive that every day. I do have my van, which is a camper van, which is set up for me to stay in and work. I don't know if I can do that for a month, but.
Right.
Like, a couple days at a time. I feel like it's going to be a couple days at a time with like a day or two in between.
Right.
But I'm not sure, honestly. The weather is also the other factor. So
sure. Outside. Sure. I was going to ask. So who knows?
I was going to ask, being that you do so much outside work, are there special paints that you need to use, temperatures that you have to be conscientious of?
Well, I actually started out just because I painted my house with the bear paint from Home Depot. I knew I got the most expensive paint when I did my house because I didn't want to have to do it again. So I knew it was really durable. I mean, it made, basically it's exterior paint. It turns into like a plastic, basically. So it's incredibly durable. And I mean, that's what I use. I mean, no one can see this, but that's what I used on my wall here. That's, I always just use bear paint. It's cheaper than buying artist paint and it's made to not fade, basically. There's some issues with like clear coats. If you use it in the wrong temperature and you're putting a clear coat, it might not be clear. So it might destroy your whole painting. So you just have to kind of do a little test patch. If it's really hot or really cold out, it'll be look foggy and bad. I learned that lesson on a very small project, which was good, but that could have been terrible. Many murals have been ruined by people that paint in the wrong temperature for the clear coat.
Sure.
Also like Rust-Oleum spray paint. Like when I use spray paint, I feel like that people are using that in every temperature. So, but as far as bear paint, I'm not painting below like, I mean, I'm not going to be outside below 65, 60 degrees painting anyways, because your fingers get cold and then you can't work.
Right. Good point. Yeah. So do you, you buy the exterior bear paint and then you, do you color it, you tint it or?
No, they, stuff? I just have them mix it.
Okay.
I'm like, some people are paint mixers and to me, it's mixing paint is really frustrating. I really have a hard time getting it the same every time. And I feel like it takes a lot of time. If I just go buy the dang color I want, it solves my problem. Right. Instantly. So right. I like working with like, I call it spot colors because I work in the print industry, but I just like working with the exact color I want. And like, mm-hmm. if there's a shade that I need to mix, I'll mix it. But I'm pretty much just buying the colors I want and using right. them directly.
Okay. Okay. Tip for our listeners.
Well, like maybe, but like I also think that that's just what I do. Like
sure.
someone else might prefer something different.
Right. Well, see, you're already outsourcing something that you don't want to do. You're having the paint store do it.
Go.
See.
How long does, you know, with the sun shining on a door or the exterior mural of this two-story, how long is the expectation for those to stay fresh, stay current, look good?
So far, I can tell you I painted my house with bear paint in like 2016, 2015. So, and I don't notice that it's faded at all. That was the most expensive, the marquee bear paint. The other stuff might fade a little more. I mean, it's not really noticeable. It doesn't fade that much. As far as durability, it turns into plastic and it pretty much stays on unless there's paint peeling underneath from before it was painted. Mm-hmm. It really just stays on. I would say, I mean, the bear says that their paint is like 7 to 10 years. That's their estimate of how long it lasts. But I mean, that just means how it, for it to last exactly how it is when you put it on. I mean, it still will be on. It might fade a little, but it's, you probably won't even notice it. It's not like 30 years from now, it would be really faded. But within the next, you know, 15 years, I don't expect that there to be any issues unless there's something wrong with like the substrate underneath. Personally, I haven't had issues with it yet.
Good.
I'm sure I will. I'm sure it's a learning experience. Like, sure. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned earlier about like some bad advice or just untimely advice or whatever you get from people. We always ask our guests about advice. So let us know. Tell us some bad advice or some advice that you've gotten that just wasn't relevant to you.
I mean, first of all, go to college. That was bad advice.
I love it.
I don't know that college is as relevant as it used to be, depending on what kind of degree you're getting, but a lot of people go get a degree and they don't even do it. So, I mean, almost take time. You're so young, you can't make a decision. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like my kids are teenagers and people are always like, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? And they're like, how am I supposed to know that right now? You know,
you have to decide at like 18 or something. Right. And your brain doesn't stop growing until you're 25. So you have, yeah. You're going to make a decision that might not be one that you like when your brain stops growing.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Or, just, you know, change your career 7 times in your adulthood. And
I mean, it would sure help to know, to actually know what you wanted to do and not just, you know, what, you know, your parents want you to make money. Like, they're going to influence you to do what they want you to do. But my parents were supportive of me, but they were skeptical, I think, too.
Right.
That's bad advice. Other advice would be, like, me personally, I realized that I had to, like, take only the jobs I wanted to get to where I wanted to be. And at first, I mean, you got to make money and you can take a bunch of jobs, but I realized I was getting a lot of requests for things I didn't want to do, and there were things I had already done. So I decided I just have to say no to those things if I don't want to do them in the future. And that's definitely gotten me to get a certain type of clientele that I want. It helps me to whittle it down to, like, people that I feel like will work good together too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should really only, if you can, only take the jobs that you want to do, because fairly quickly, that's what you're going to start getting a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I could have phrased all that more eloquently, but.
No, I think that's really an important. Yeah, it's really an important point to make. And I hope hope all our listeners are paying attention, because like we talked a little bit about that earlier. It's just, part of being a business owner is learning that discernment about, you can't do all the things, you can't please all the people, and you're in this business, you know, you're a business owner to call your own shot. So call them, you know, and it feels weird at first to turn a job down, but it's not always the wrong thing to do, you know?
Right. So also, how about being a female business owner? Like, that's a whole different element. And, you know, we're forced to be people pleasers from the time we're, like, kids. So then having to say no to, like, business, it's just weird. You know, it feels like you shouldn't be, but you should be. If you want to get a certain type of business, you have to say no to the business you don't want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what would you say would be the best piece of advice that you would like to give other people that are looking to start a business, turn their passion into a business? What's the best piece of advice you have?
Okay. This is, like, the most inspiring thing to me. My friend had me read this or listen to this audiobook, Atomic Habits. And it talks about how literally, like, the only reason people succeed is, like, because of repetition. So, and I've noticed this, like, there's people who have, okay, I don't want to sound mean because I don't think I'm the greatest artist, but I've seen some really terrible artists make this niche market out of their terrible art. So, like, and that's literally just proof that it is just repetition. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, like, no matter what you're doing, if you do it, like, 1,000 times, you're going to get better at it. So I already had this, like, inclination, you know, I was already an artist, but I mean, I wasn't as good as I am now. And the only reason I'm as good as I am now is because I've done it every day since I decided to do it. Like, when I was working at my last job and I was trying to do art on the side, like, I wasn't improving, like, nothing's improving. So I was spending all my time at my regular job. So it was hard to leave my regular job because my finances are totally different now and they're not steady. But at the same time, like, that was the only way for me to break into this, is to, like, dedicate my time repetitively to this, like, daily, trying to get business and make art. I mean, like, my murals are, like, way better than when I started. And, like, they were still pretty cool when I started, but, like, I just feel like, maybe because of COVID, because I've had more time to think about it, like, everything in my head is, like, starting to come together.
Yeah, COVID probably had something to do with it. Your age, too. I mean, you know, our guest we just had on, recorded before you, we were talking about that, and, like, how in your 20s you feel invincible, and then in your 30s you start questioning everything, right? And I think that's definitely probably part of it, for sure. But a side hustle can only be a side hustle for so long, right? And until you've either got to ditch it or make it into something
bigger. Yeah.
And
a lot of people give up too soon, it's really frustrating. And like, I understand giving up too soon because sometimes like someone will have a business proposition or something and I'll instantly know, like, that's not for me. That's not going to work.
Right.
They don't understand why I'm not giving up too soon. I know it's not going to work. Like, that isn't going to work, but it's about like finding out what does work and repeating it. You know, that's what works.
Right.
Even if you have terrible art, you make a niche market out of it. As long as you have repetition, you can sell anything.
And I like it too. Like, I go to a lot of like craft shows and artist things like that or whatever. And I see stuff and I'm like, I could do that. But I know I'm not going to do it.
Exactly.
Just because I could doesn't mean I'm going to, which is why they did it and they're selling it.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, it's exactly like fixing your house or like, I could do it. I could spend all day looking at YouTube videos or I could just pay someone to do it and have it done and not stress out about it.
Right.
Right. Very good. So our audience is predominantly in the 517 area code in terms of people that we're interviewing. Where can our local listeners go and see some of your work?
Okay. Well, definitely Williamston on the side of the studio shop. That is a big mural of like sunflowers and native plants and mushrooms and stuff. And hopefully that one will be expanding. So I fill up that whole wall, but we'll see what happens. And then you can go to Ding Tea in East Lansing. That is one of my more recent ones. That one's really cool. It's a koi pond and with like koi fish and a dragonfly. It's kind of like a selfie one where you can stand in front of the dragonfly and have the wings coming out of your sides. And also they have really, really good drinks. Like, that is like my favorite boba tea place in the area. Although I have to say I haven't been to many, but they have crazy toppings I've never had before. And then I just finished one, I guess, I don't know if it's really a public place. It's at Cedar River Insurance. And I just painted their entryway. And that's actually like a Lansing themed mural in there. That one's pretty cool. I just finished it last week.
Nice.
Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head. But if you drive around and see a painted front door, I probably did it. And if someone else did,
you've done some in Grand Ledge, right? Have you done some in Grand Ledge? Because that's where I live and I've seen them. I mean, I'm either that's Adrian's or somebody copied her because it looks just like the stuff that you do.
I have. Yeah. And I actually do have a mural coming up in Grand Ledge. Just my next one coming up whenever the weather's better. It's going to be another photo op mural that looks like you're standing in front of kind of like a photograph, but you're like reeling in a giant fish. Mm. So that one is going to be down by, I don't know what it's called, that island park.
The island.
It's going to be over there, near there. Nice. So I have done some in Grand Ledge. I think they're in Grand Ledge, though, everything that I've done is like a private residence, other than this one coming up.
Yeah, I've seen your doors around town. I'm always like, ooh, that looks like Adrian. Nice. Cool.
Adrian, how can our listeners find you?
They can find me at artofadrian.com. They can find me as at artofadrian on TikTok, Facebook. What else?
Instagram.
Instagram. Yeah. And that's about it.
And of course, for our listeners, we'll have all the links to those things that Adrian just listed in the show notes for this episode. So you can find it there if you don't want to write it down right now or remember. But this has been great. I have loved talking to you about this. I've been excited. I've been looking forward to this interview. I know we like met kind of and talked via text and stuff when I hired you, but I've never really talked to you in person too much. And I do avidly follow you, though. You are one of my favorite local artists in Lansing. Yeah, absolutely. So
I really appreciate it. I love like what you guys are doing too. Like at anything to get, you know, local businesses' names out. I feel like, I don't know, the pandemic's been really hard on local businesses, and I'm sad to see that. I don't feel like government or anything really helped small businesses very much as they could have. Like, maybe if I had a week to write some kind of proposal to get a grant, I could have done that, but I didn't have a week to do that.
Right.
I feel like, you're always having to jump through hoops. It's obviously people are struggling. One thing I want to say to the people of Lansing is that I don't know if you've been anywhere else, but the art scene even though people make art here, it's struggling and people don't, I don't know if people just don't, I feel like people appreciate it, but I feel like everyone's just not doing well financially. Lansing is a hard place. Like, I've lived other places in Michigan and I feel like there's so much more support for the arts in other places. And I see my friends that have other like creative businesses struggling. And I feel like I literally could probably make three times as much if I lived somewhere else. So I don't know, like, I'm in Lansing for a while, but I don't know that I'm going to stay here. I really want to see, now that COVID happened and killed off all these venues and, you know, small businesses, I want to see a lot of change and money put into, you know, venues and like artists. Like, I want to see people spending money on art, like not just at like an art fair type of art. Like, there's so many different kinds of art. So,
right.
I've been pretty sad about being in Lansing lately, actually. And I want it to change, but yeah. I don't know how fast that'll happen.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's one of the reasons why I'm really involved in local art and, you know, trying to help, and I've mentored a few artists and things like that. But one of the things I am really excited and positive for in general, not just this area, but, you know, renaissances have come out of pandemics and wars and other things historically. And that's where we're at right now. We are in a renaissance of arts right now. And so if people, like you said, if they would just support it a little bit more, I mean, just how many people during the pandemic learned a new instrument or, you know, upped their artist game or decided to pick up some paintbrushes or whatever. I mean, people are really discovering their talents and things like that. And for a lot of people, it's just a hobby, but for a lot of people, it is their livelihood. And I agree with you. I think artists in this area are undercharging. I think that they should be able to charge more and make more, and people should pay it. And I'm always like, buy local art. That's one of my favorite hashtags. So, you know, yeah. My house is a museum to local art. It's everywhere in my house, and I buy it and I support it, and I wish everybody did that.
So I hear you. Too.
Yeah.
I stopped, like, I don't know. I used to just like buy stuff at the store or on Amazon as gifts. And now I'm like specifically trying to always buy local stuff for gifts, unless it's something that I just can't get locally or it's some niche thing, but. Yeah, like I'm always doing that now, and I'm like focused on doing it now. I just hope that now that people had time to like chill and relax, that they realize like we shouldn't just be running this like rat race, and there's other things to appreciate in life, like art.
Yeah.
And not just money.
Right. Absolutely. Lansing, you heard it from Adrian, one of the very successful artists in our area. Support local art. Think about local art. Buy it for gifts, hire an artist, support the endeavor, all those good things. Everyone needs to hear that for sure. Yeah. Adrian, this has been such a pleasure having you on our show. Thank you so much. And I just know that you're going to be an inspiration to, you know, some artists out there that really want to start making money on their art and how to do it. And I'm sure this is going to be really helpful for them. So we've loved having you on. Yeah,
absolutely. Even if they're not artists, I feel like that's legit solid business advice.
True.
Repetition, yeah. You'll get better.
Right. True.
You don't even have to be good at it. Like,
right. Yeah. True.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Yeah. It's been awesome. And I want to share with you, there are organizations like PTAC, the Procurement Technical Assistance Center. There are the SBDC. There's a lot of places that offer free assistance to business owners to help them get established. And one of the great organizations is really helping you to certify. Great Lakes Women's Business Council helps you to certify your business as a small woman-owned business, create that designation. So there are some great resources out there for you to navigate through and hopefully help you find some of that leverage you need so you can focus on doing what you want to do best. And I love your shout out for the artists in this area and creating that awareness. So thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah,
small business, Michigan small business, what's it called?
SBDC, Development SBDC. Center.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then
they help. I did go there and they helped me a lot with, at first with like some of the legal stuff, like LLC.
Yeah.
And they have this pamphlet that like explained everything you have to do to start a business. It was so helpful.
Yeah. Yes, nice. They are. Lori Lonsdorf, we love you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on our show. I'm looking forward to seeing some of your stuff around in the community. And we look forward to, again, to seeing you more. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you for listening to our show and coming on an adventure with us and Adrian and her beautiful art. We release episodes now every Tuesday and Thursday. You can find us at zdiamedia.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, please also visit zdiamedia.com and click connect. We hope you have a great day and make it an adventure and go out in the Lansing area and find some of Adrian's art. Have a great day.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at zdiamedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to zdiamedia.com. That's zdiamedia.com and sign up. Is